Good evening, Melrosians the world over. I am Tom Catalini.
I'm Sam Hammer.
I am Tom Shampoo.
And I'm Jen LeClaire. I told you guys I was going last.
And this is Let's Talk Melrose. Melrose, a show where Melrosians talk to Melrosians about Melrose and health and fitness, right,
Tom? Health and fitness.
The word on the street is Tom is one of the fittest cast member. But I heard you're leveling up. Is that true?
I am leveling up. No. I joined Fit Life. I wanted to stay limber and, you know, maintain a level of something. I don't know, whatever that does for me. So I joined Fit Life and I started tonight and I love it. It's a TRX class and it's nice because I can walk over there. I can walk anywhere in the office, I guess.
So where's Fit Life?
Fit Life is right on Corey Street, right
behind MMTV.
Right behind MMTV.
Oh, right.
What is TRX? What is that?
So TRX is Total Resistance X. I don't know what X stands for.
Experience?
Or something. I think R is resistance. T might be total, might be Tom. I don't know what it stands for. But anyway, it's a resistance class. And so you use your body weight to work out. So these two giant straps. Don't say it, Sam. These two giant straps, and you use it to like do exercises. It's a group of like six or eight people together, and it's music, and you kind of have fun. But the guy who leads the class is phenomenal. He's really, really fit, and he's in great shape. And his name is Tom, by the way.
Great job,
Tom, over at Fit Life. I'm enjoying class.
Well, everybody's name is Tom, I've heard, and you're around. almost everyone.
So whenever I hear body weight workout, it reminds me of one of my favorite all-time movies, Over the Top. You guys are familiar with this, of course.
Sylvester Stallone.
Yes.
The arm wrestling.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, right. Oh. When he's driving around in the truck and he's got to work out. Right.
And
right,
a kid
do the rally cap, and he's reconciling with his son.
It's deep.
We can't get into it here, but since
not
he's on the
deep
road,
as Christmas at the Chateau, though, but that's different. That's different.
I'll save this for another show. But there's another Christmas. There's a new Christmas movie coming out.
Sorry,
this
Tom.
Year with Rooftop. Lindsay Lohan.
Well, Rooftop Christmas Tree is number one, and probably never to be.
Lindsay Lohan may upset that.
People are dying to hear about Over the Top, Tom. I'm sorry, I derailed you.
Well, it's just so Sylvester Stallone's estranged from his son. And he's traveling the country because he's a trucker, and there's a whole subplot and a lot of dynamics. But one of the ways he earns the respect of his son and all of humanity is through winning these arm wrestling contests, but he's on the road. So to work out, he's got to do body weight workouts, right? Off the front of the truck and all of that.
Here we go.
Hey, okay. There you go.
All right. We got a lot to talk about.
We have a lot to talk about.
Let's go.
So are we going right into the news?
We got to go right into the news.
All right, here we go. What's in the news, Jen?
Okay, so there's a whole bunch of creative and cultural events happening around town. We're going to just list the few of them that are coming up this week, but there's also a new group in town called the Melrose Creative Alliance, and we've put together our first listing of creative events around town, and it was pretty extensive, so we're pretty proud of it. You can sign up to get more of these. Sam just put the link in, and so it's a newsletter. There'll be a website eventually, but we're working on helping arts and creative organizations around town kind of get the word out and let the public know about things that are going on in town. That's been a challenge for some time. There's a number of groups doing that, but we're trying to do it like pretty comprehensively. So sign up to hear more. A couple of the things that are coming up, there's on October 6th, there's Adult Open Studios at Follow Your Art Community Studios. There's also a fundraiser for Friends of Melrose Drama at Giggles Comedy. The Melrose Arts Windows Art Walk starts October 8th. So there's artwork throughout the windows of downtown through the month of October. And I'll let you guys do a couple of the next ones. There's a couple more coming up.
October 8th is jam-packed.
It's jammed.
It's just 4 days away. And I mean, get up early, make a big pot of coffee, because that's quite a day in Melrose.
The early bird gets the treasures. Yeah, citywide yard sale. So there's over 40 yard sales. It's like Porch Fest, but for yard sales.
Oh, that's right. We talked about this last week. Tom, did you hear my homage to our first encounter?
Yes. I don't want to say I shed a tear, but I mean, it was touching. Yes. Walk down memory lane.
So yeah,
I was
do you remember meeting us, or do I just remember meeting you?
I mean, it was probably more notable for you than for me, but sure, I remember.
Also, at some point during the show, I want to see evidence of Stephanie Catalini.
Yes,
we discussed this last night.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
We need to see that she's alive and well.
We want proof of life.
Today's newspaper.
Proof of life.
Yeah. Well, I don't have the newspaper, but we were just working on the New York Times crossword puzzle. But she's. Mm-hmm. It's funny. I didn't quite see her heading to tune in as I was coming up to the show, so she might be slightly delayed tonight.
So we should finish up. So the citywide yard sale is October 8th, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., as we said, I think, a few minutes ago. It's good to go early, get some great treasures. It's a great day. I've been through this before. It's kind of fun. And you never know who you're going to meet, like Sam and Tom Catalini.
Yeah.
You never know.
Is the I don't believe it. You need to show yourself, Stephanie.
She's tuned in. Alive, listening, and tuned in.
Amazing.
I don't know. I don't believe that this
one. I don't know that that's it. Could be the robots. Could be Tom.
You're no kidding.
The Russian bots.
We're not convinced. Stephanie Catalini.
And then there's this new event that popped up mysteriously on the internet. Yeah. I don't get it one bit. It sounds like a lot of fun. I don't know if I'm going to make it, but there's a dance. For community dance. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. taking place on Essex Street, which is the best place to do an event,
in my opinion,
on Saturday, October 8th from 2 to 5. So get out and dance.
So this is hosted.
It looks great, but it was just posted today, four days before the event. But it looks like they put a lot of work into this on a long weekend.
So yeah, I am not around, but I hope that if you are around this weekend, I hope people will go check it out, because I'm sure people worked really hard.
Wait a minute, what do you mean long weekend? Because
it is
Indigenous People's Day.
It's a long weekend.
I thought that was the following weekend.
No, it's this weekend.
It's this weekend, Monday.
Okay.
So this is an arts and cultural event, and it's presented by the mayor's office and the DEI task force and the Human Rights Commission, and it features a DJ and Dance for Humanity. There will also be this woman who I just saw perform a few days ago, Michelle La Poetica, and she was incredible. She moved me to tears. She has an incredible story, and she's a mind-blowing spoken word artist. She was incredible. So so if you are around, go check it out.
Cool.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a big day on Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah. But again, you can find out more of these things through, there are several channels to find out about stuff that's going on in the community. But again, the Melrose Creative Alliance is, we're doing our best to kind of help with that. And that's one of the outputs, I guess, if you will, from the summit that we had a long time ago. It was one of
is
the
this
ne-
dance,
needs.
Is this dance party or the list you're talking about?
The list. The
okay. List. Yeah. All right. So I just signed up while you were talking about that earlier. So I'm looking forward to. So I'm going to get a list of happenings in town. That's what's happening there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Plugged in.
Yeah. Make sure you have that saved. That email saved as a contact. So it goes right to your inbox.
Right.
That's right.
Okay.
All right.
Moving on, I guess, as they say.
We're going to talk about this mental health first aid training courses, because I know Sam and Jen are
signed up.
For it,
you guys are signed up. That's right.
And there's youth and adult, and that's the following weekend, right? Is that when that is? 15th?
Oh, sorry, I'm just seeing our some of our guest comments. That is
Save it for Bob, we're getting to that. Don't worry.
Yeah, don't you worry. Hang, hold on. Hold, buckle up. Hold on.
Hang on, Bob. Get ready to dial in.
All right, let's go. The people, people want to hear us talk about. We are here to talk about what Melrose is talking about.
Yeah.
Yes. And that is our school committee budget shortfall. The current
seven days and 41 minutes ago, we had a presentation by our superintendent Julie Kuchenberger on our FY22 $2.2 million budget shortfall. So that's where we began. We were trying to report live during the show, which mostly went okay.
which never works out, I think, right? So let's give a quick rundown. So yeah, $2.2 million shortfall from last year, from the budget that came through in the summertime. It was sort of discussed, I guess, at length. But do you want to discuss like where the shortfall comes from very quickly?
I mean, there's, you know, at a high level, we can get into the details, but at a high level, you know, I'll tell you what I learned from the Patch article. You could read about this.
There we go.
Yep. And then I went and watched the school committee presentation. So it's about an hour, it's a 15-minute presentation, and then, I don't know, 40 minutes of discussion. Yeah. It took a while to just to get at the basics. So this is fiscal year 22.
Last year, right.
Which ended on June 30th. And then they close out the books, you know, they wrap everything up for the year. And so we're talking about last year's money, and a $2.2 million shortfall is the words they chose for this presentation. But what I found was weird in the presentation was like everybody kind of already knew about this. So the presentation was seemed to be for the public's benefit, and it was odd. I don't know how it struck you guys.
Yes. So there I don't even know that what was presented beforehand, somebody had mentioned watch the school committee meeting. Otherwise, I wouldn't have watched it. I haven't read anything in the paper since or seen any letters to parents or the community. So it was presented and meant for that purpose. But I'm not sure, to your point, Tom, who was supposed to be presented to, because as you mentioned in some of the comments, the folks who were being presented to on site seemed to have already known.
Right.
So,
It's a public disclosure.
So they're calling it a budget shortfall, and basically, you know, $2.2 million was overspent, and they're trying to characterize this in a number of ways, but it's really hard to follow and to understand. I'm not even sure why you call it a budget shortfall, but there was also a change of finance directors at this time. And then, you know, Julie, Dr. Kuchenberger seemed to make a point of, well, on July 8th, we didn't know anything was wrong. On July 12th, we thought that there was like a $2.2 million catastrophe in the budget. So it has to do with the accounting mechanisms, and some things were double counted, this, that, and the other. And apparently they true it up as part of the closing process every year, and it all works out. So, but they also seemed to say that there was a problem. We found it. It's fixed. And, you know, all the money was spent for good reasons. It's an accounting thing, and we got a way to clean it up going forward. But it really raises so many questions about how about prior years? How was that accounting done? And they're switching from like a global system-wide budget to a school-by-school budget so that they can track and account for things more accurately as they go. But like, why wasn't that done before? And it raised more questions than it provided any comfort. And they, even what she explained as the contributing factors for, you know, a lot of temporary teachers, you know, because of COVID outages and this, that, and the other. It's like, well, I mean, those things should have raised an eyebrow to be like, well, how does it look like this is all going to land fine all along the way if you know about some of these huge contributing factors? So contributing factors each weighed in at like $500,000. So these were like significant things that were happening that would impact that budget. But I guess you're just going along going, oh, Finance guy says it's okay and it'll all come out in the wash.
Yeah, but the going along, these things do come up, and there are opportunities throughout the year to check in on these things, but more importantly, to communicate that there might be a problem. Like if there's a red flag, even if it's just a red flag, you have an opportunity at several points to communicate with the public that there might be a problem. We talk a lot on this show about communications, and this again is another one of those issues that's coming back to, like, why is there a lack of transparency? Why are they not communicating with the public?
I just wanted to go back really quickly to something that Tom just said about that. It's not worked out, actually. So they're still trying to figure out how to get resources from this budget year to fill some of the gaps in last year. So I don't know what those resources are. And it will have a huge impact on this school year and beyond. That is not clear. So to Jen's point, in waiting for 2 months to tell the community how exactly this is going to be rectified, that was 2 months of work that was being done behind. Somebody was doing it somewhere without telling people.
Right.
And we still don't have clear answers what these resources are that are going to be sacrificed.
And we may not. I think there's two different, there's a lot to discuss. And it's two different, for me, there's two different areas of discussion. One is what happened, and one is what happened after that happened. In other words, explain what happened to $2.2 million and why we overspent some. And so I think it seems like the budget shortfall was a combination of overspending because we thought we had more money, and then we also had less revenue coming in because there were fewer kids and because there were teacher outages and, you know, all kinds of different reasons why that kind of add up to $2.2 million. But then the second half of that is, why didn't we hear after people learned about it? Why didn't we know what was going on? So what people did after it came out, I think, is a really important conversation.
Yeah.
So this is where, Sam, I wasn't trying to say it was all settled, but I think they were trying to give the impression that it's all under control, nothing to see here. So between July 12th and, you know, October 4th, whenever this presentation was, whatever was last week, sorry.
Yeah.
But whenever the presentation was, they all kind of knew what was happening.
Yes.
And there's other things involved too. We have our notes in the show, like the superintendent is up for her review during this time or somewhere during this time.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So her, mm-hmm. she did get a raise, but, she had an evaluation sometime in July after July 12th. There was a proposal for her to receive a raise, which, during a teacher contract year is a questionable motive. I don't want to, nothing nefarious, but that's like not maybe a great time to take a raise. On July 26th. And there's just other things that are mixed within this. And so we've been dealing a lot with, like, during the override, we worked really hard to make sure people felt comfortable that their tax dollars, their new revenue was going to be managed well, and also
transparency.
And communicated well.
No, without, yes. With open communication and not hidden communication. And they got both of those things. Those folks who voted no or wanted to vote no, both of those things just happened. And it's so unfortunate.
Yeah, it was one of my, I agree. It was one of the first things I thought of was, oh my God, all of the people who worked so hard on the override and worked hard to assure the community that the city would be, you know, good stewards of these funds and assured people about transparency. And there were opportunities early on to be communicating and showing how the override money was being spent as a way to sort of celebrate and show the community, like, look, this money is going towards our students in the following ways. So not only did we never do that and never take like this gift of a PR opportunity, but then the opposite happened. And like, they're, you know, really not communicating at all with the community when there's a problem. So I just, and it has implications, you know, there's ripple effects everywhere. Like the library project, you know, we're dealing with a library project right now. There's a project to do some work with Memorial Hall, and everyone knows that construction prices are rising and, you know, costs are rising. So if there's challenges with those projects or other projects in the community, it 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 has an impact on the faith that the community has in some of these other projects, if there's a need to look for additional funds these other things. It's like it has a huge ripple effect, I think.
Well, that's a great point, because again, I go back to prior years, because like, well, how long has this been going on? It all comes out in the watch. Like, how closely are you watching this thing?
It
seemed to come to light at the same time they changed finance directors, which is odd.
I thought it was odd as well.
And then finding out in early July and not saying anything until something was like, apparently to me, seemed to be kind of orchestrated and performative and super like lingo heavy and not super clear. And like, everybody's in on it, but me and the public watching, it felt like, and I'm like,
right.
And I am sure what your point is, other than to try and say, well, something happened, it's complicated, you don't need to get into the details. Don't worry, no money was wasted, and you know, we'll fix it, and everything we're legally obligated to do, we're going to do in terms of meeting needs. Bob made a comment about, you know, what needs go unmet as a result, and they like, oh, you know, don't worry about that. Well, I mean, it's $2.2 million. Like, it's not nothing,
right?
And the impacts, I mean, you know, the question for me is, how long do the impacts last now? This impact of lack of trust, the One Melrose campaign, the override campaign, was a divisive campaign for a lot of people. They felt there were very heavy, strong no's on one side, very heavy yeses on the other side. And whatever we feel now about that, well, before this happened, whatever we felt about that, it passed and the city moved forward. Now, this takes the issue for people who are maybe against the override and brings it back up in front. Mm-hmm. Now you've got maybe a year or two or three more years of a divisive conversation around budget. And even if we do post information publicly, and if others who are involved share information, there's a lot of skepticism whether it's true or not. So I think that there's so much damage from not communicating with people and not sharing the facts and not being honest right away. So people will say, then there's no sense to trust you from now on. So this could be years of repair for the financial issues. And again, the library is one of the victims of that, unnecessary. But they could suddenly, you know, if there's extra money needed, you know,
we don't know that's going to happen, but it's a risk, right? I mean, someone here commented like they've the library department has been communicating all along, and that is true, so that's good.
Yes, it's true. It's all true. I'm saying it doesn't matter to some people. I'm saying this divisiveness may now put these things under a larger microscope, even if they are being upfront, even if they're being honest and open.
Right.
It almost doesn't matter for some people.
Yeah.
Which is right.
And to Jen's earlier point about, you know, we've been screaming on the show that it is so important to be as open with communication as possible with the public, because we have a real issue with trust in local government in this nation. And the truth is coming out one way or another.
The way you want it to or not. Yeah, exactly.
I was talking to somebody earlier today, and it's like, do they believe we're idiots, that we are going to get angry, that we don't deserve the information until it's solved? I'm sure none of those things are true. There must be some other reason as to why we were kept in the dark for 2 months since somebody knew about this. To me, that is abhorrent leadership. And I think that has a longer lasting impact on this community than the financial one will have.
100%.
So I agree with you, Sam, and there still aren't statements out there.
No, nobody has said anything.
Nobody said anything.
If we weren't watching the school committee meeting and then in these little cocoon circles rolling around talking about this, mm-hmm. we would have no idea. No idea. So all of that work that we did to build the trust back into, because we were all neighbors here. Like, that's the whole point. Like, let's just be upfront, and because it's going to come out at some point. All of this stuff always comes out.
Always.
Tom, go ahead, Tom.
Well, I was just going to underscore, you know, happy to have Dakota Antelman on the patch, because even that, right? So there's, you know, thousands of Melrosians subscribe to the patch, and you get a little bulletin as soon as that happens. And if it's at least a cue to go and look if you're interested in something's going on, because not everybody's in an inner circle. Not everybody's watching the school committee meeting. Not everybody wants to participate in the Facebook group. So just the value of local reporting, I think, can't be overstated. And I mean, my goodness, if there was like true investigative reporting at the local level, who knows what you
right. What gets uncovered?
I think, go ahead.
I was going to admire your point, Sam. So go ahead
clear the decks.
I didn't even know what you were going to say. I was going to admire your point.
Sam's point about it will come out. It will come out. So hanging on and trying not to make it available to people, or hiding, or seemingly hiding, is only hurting people who are doing that. Like it's going to come out. So then the question becomes, why didn't you just tell us 2 months earlier?
Right.
Yeah.
Does it make sense? That's all.
And it's
okay to talk about, you know, it's okay to say you don't know some things, right? Like, you know, you can put the information out that you do have, and, you know, I've given this example a thousand times when I worked in communications for the city of San Jose. That's a city of 900,000 people. And we had an ongoing campaign that was called Straight Talk About the Budget. And everything was published and transparent on the website. If people asked questions, you could ask questions and the answers would be put out in almost real time. Publicly, a scrolling, ongoing, frequently asked questions. If you had a question, someone in the city would get back to you and they would answer it publicly on the website. Everything. 900,000 people. It's not, you know.
And it's so easy to do that stuff. But I do personally, I do believe that mistakes were inadvertently made. I don't really believe that there was any intent. That's just my opinion. I have nothing to go on, though, other than
I agree with you. Yeah.
But everything after that, to everyone's point, the hiding of this information feels really, really pretty terrible. I feel like I've been deceived. And that was intentional. That was very intentional.
Yeah. I agree with you that, you know, it doesn't appear, or might be based on nothing other than watching the meeting. It doesn't seem like there's any nefarious act in there stating that. But it's like, if you don't notice a million or $2 million honest mistake, like, what if there was something, somebody pilfering money somewhere or something going, like, you should have command and control of this budget from beginning to end on a month by month basis. Like, I'm just like, any place I've worked, there's... there's internal controls, there's audits, there's reporting. I'm like, I wanted to start texting some like CFO friends of mine, and I'm like, well, I'm not sure they're gonna watch the 58 minutes of our school committee meeting to weigh in on this for me. But I'm like, I'm not seeing anything quite like this.
In any other normal, healthy organization, you don't have to wait till year end to find problems. It's usually you have a board of people, like a committee. Who, like a committee, who is charged with reviewing the budget documents every month. This is normal course of business.
It should be. And you know, it's a little frustrating to think back that it's the second year of COVID we're talking about. So the first year should have given them some insights into how many kids were not coming in for daycare or for after school programs, for example. They had to space the seats further apart. That was noted in the report that said that meant fewer children, which meant less money coming in. But if you didn't have a sense of how much that's going to impact the revenue, then who's not paying attention to that? Like, it's weird that in the second year of a global pandemic, you don't know what to expect for revenue in a situation that you've gone through for the year before.
I agree with you. I think one of the things that it was reported really came back to bite us was that there was grant funding that was counted in different places or not counted consistently. So I think that probably had the biggest impact rather than than revenue, which they probably were able to project a little bit. But so I don't really understand how that works. But
well, they probably overspent thinking they had that much money in there, right? So again,
there's a question of whether or not it was in a grant line items or in operating budget line items, like stuff like that, accounting stuff like that. So I agree that like it was, I agree that I believe that there were dishonest mistakes made in the accounting. But it's okay to say that. Like you have to start, just start with that.
Yeah. I mean, how do you also get from mid July to almost mid October? Like that's
right.
It's not like, oh, you know, I could see like, hey, give me let me clear my calendar.
A couple of weeks.
Even that's generous, but like, Sam, hold my call tomorrow.
Why, I said, in that position, I probably would have made 100, who knows, I could make 100 mistakes. I can't say that I would never have made mistakes either. Who knows?
Sure.
Right. But I do know that I would have, first thing to do is call two Toms, I guess, and a Jen, at least one Tom. I'm not going to say which one, and give myself 24 hours timeline to come out with a statement to the public, to everyone, because that is so much worse. I think I try not to talk in these terms about being deceived, but I think anybody who knew September 27th before 7 p.m. and didn't let on is culpable of. It's hard to swallow that pill.
That's kind of organized, and if multiple people know, like I think that's why there's like open meeting laws and like that is a. It feels like a communication that's not supposed to happen that way. I mean, you need some back channel to get your act together, but it does feel like a long time. Mm-hmm. Like a long time.
You know. To me, the difference is stark, right? We just all agree, I think, that nobody made a decision to do this intentionally. So it was just bad practice, bad whatever. But it wasn't, there was no intent. So there's no decision to make to allow it to happen. This other thing, after it happens, is a decision that somebody has to make. Mm-hmm. We're not going to announce it. So there's very stark difference between how the two ended up happening. So there's only a decision you make. Yes, we're going to announce it or tell people, or no, we're not. So.
And those decisions are still being made.
Right. Because you also chose.
Still not saying anything.
Well, you chose that at a time and place of your choosing.
Right.
You revealed this in a very calculated manner.
It's all intentional.
Right. Yeah, so there was, and with no plan apparently for follow up. So it wasn't like, hey, if you missed the school committee, here's the newsletter bullet item on that. Or, there was no, like that was the seemed to be the sum total of the communication.
There are
plan.
And newsletters, again, but that wasn't in it.
I know, but right. But like, I went back and watched a thing for an hour last night. And like, that was the point of that was to get it out there. But that was it. That was the sum total, apparently, of the communications plan.
But no informing people that this was a thing that was going to happen. And then again, the newsletters usually hit on Sundays. So I will check them again. But I don't see that this is, I'm waiting for a leader to stand up and say something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just waiting still. And so speaking of, on October 11th, which is next Tuesday, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
After your Melrose weekend, the city council is having a special meeting. And I think this will be the topic of conversation.
Sure.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I hadn't heard that because when I was watching the recording on. Wait a minute. Oh, you
got
the
news.
Ah. So breaking news right here, because when I watched the recording, there's supposed to be a school committee meeting on the 11th that they wanted to postpone.
On the 18th.
They voted to reschedule it to the 18th. So yes. To give them a couple of weeks. I don't know if it was necessarily to make room for this, but that is interesting.
No. So you have to have RSS feeds active for your Melrose agenda and meeting updates. Just kidding. Or get tipped off by people that a special meeting will be held on the city council, because they're also beholden to allocating our tax funds to our education budget and handing over spending responsibilities and accountability to somebody else and some other body.
Which is like it's 60%, two-thirds. It's a large part of the budget. You know what I mean? The school is like, I think, more than half the budget.
Oh, yeah.
Sam, was that a special meeting that they called, or was this like a meeting they were having anyway?
Nope, special meeting.
No, special.
So wouldn't that mean they're maybe pissed because of what you know, right? Right?
I'm not certain, but I suspect that we're not the only folks out there who are a little annoyed by this.
Yeah, right. So they have to use the power of their organization to kind of be some checks and balances. This is pretty wild. The other thing I want to say is thank goodness for MMTV and the coverage of this, because when it did bubble up, Dakota Antman sends a thing. We're talking about it. Yeah. You get some inside scoop from friends you know who maybe saw it, but I was able to go and watch that recording. Right. Right. And we can all tune in live to see the next meetings on this on the 11th and the 18th. So my goodness, if you didn't have the local media and the live coverage of these meetings, you would be at a real disadvantage if you had to get down to, you know, if you had to know about it in advance, go down there and physically view the meeting and take notes with a, you know, pencil and paper.
Right.
There'd be a much deeper sense of secrecy if these things didn't exist. So yes. Mike Minor, thank you. Hey Sam, quickly on the meeting on the 11th, is someone presenting there, or it's just the city council? You said city council meeting, or
This was Eric's weighing in on the 18th, and right. I forgot that from the meeting from watching it, but they hired outside consultants to come in and take a look at the books and give them some accounting advice and make an assessment. So that's why they shifted to the 18th.
Yeah. Thank you, Eric.
Thanks, Eric.
Yeah, thank you.
Cool. Wow. What were you saying, Tom? I forgot.
I was just asking who's if someone's presenting any information next week.
I don't know.
11th, or is it just a meeting of the city council?
I think we'll have to wait and see when the agenda comes out. I'll see if it's there. Special meeting. Hold on.
Because I'm wondering if they're going to ask questions of anybody, or if they're going to like want more information.
Ask somebody to come before.
Yes. It's a presentation.
Yep, I'll post the link. In order, seeking information on the budget shortfall of the Melrose Public Schools.
Right, so someone has to be there to be able to answer questions.
Yeah, this is interesting, too, because the mayor's a member of the school committee, which is, So back 10 years ago, whenever we changed the charter, I thought instinctively that was a bad idea. And I just wonder if there should be more checks and balances. But I'm just thinking, is the city council going to ask the mayor to give a presentation about this, or would they ask the school committee chair, would they ask Dr. Kuchenberger, or are they just going to open it up for public comment?
There is public comment at these meetings, so public comment will be after reading the minutes and after calling the order, public hearings, and then new business. And there was a filing by the Honorable City Council offered by President Sanella to dig into this a little bit more. So
that's the agenda is to discuss this with, is somebody coming to present, like Tom asked?
It doesn't say. But we're going to find out. I can try to wait a week. What time is this? 7 p.m. Ooh, all right. We can do this.
That's Tuesday night. So that's at 7, and then at 8:30 we go live, and people can talk about it here. If you don't want to wait in line and sit at the little table to talk about it.
I believe my historical commission meeting is next Tuesday night as well.
Oh, I thought you were going to say TRX.
Yeah, I have that too, man. You know, but everything.
All right. Oh gosh. All right.
Well,
interesting. Lots to discuss. All right. Well, this will be. We'll be talking about this for a little while still, I think. So, thanks to everyone who tuned in to.
And commented, yes.
Comment.
And our tip line is staff@letstalkmelrose.com. If anybody has any hot tips or wants to share any information, news, thoughts, ideas, you can make a comment on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and we'll track it down.
What is it, Melrose Talks?
I was going to say, is that really a thing? Do we really have
what did
that?
I say? No, it's letstalkmelrose.com. What did I say?
I don't know. Staff@letstalkmelrose.com.
No. Yes. Oh, I thought you said staff@talkmelrose. All right, I totally messed it up.
Sorry, maybe I should type
it
out.
No, I got it.
Hey, so Bob was saying Mayor was put on school committee precisely to have accountability and full communication between school and city. So there you go. I don't know what's going on.
Which makes sense. I think that makes sense, right?
Yes.
Seems to.
Yeah, that's our tip line. If anybody's got any inside scoop, has a suggestion for a guest, wants to dig in a little deeper, wants to send us redacted documents or whatever, what have you.
Oh my gosh, I would love to see some redemption on the 11th. This is really hard to reconcile again.
Right.
Why we can't have proactive leadership. Bold leadership communication, and that just I'm ready. I've been ready.
Well, we spent a lot of cycles on the mascot and the colors and all that, so maybe that took our eye off the ball.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah. Okay. Right. Well, thanks for that conversation, everybody. And I will not be here next week, unfortunately.
What?
I know.
I didn't see that. I didn't see a request come in for an absence.
I will email staff@letstalkmelrose.com. Give you a tip that I am not going to be here.
That's an unexcused absence.
Yes, it is.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. What a downbeat. But still, listen.
If she's alive and well, Stephanie can fill in for me.
Stephanie, show
up by next week.
Don't make me go down there and deliver more soup. Get up here.
Soup is delicious. All right. So listen, no matter what, win or lose, we drink the booze and we're going to dance it off because this is Let's Talk Melrose, Melrose, and we will see you around town.
Oh! No, it's all-